Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today to enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking 2 very serious questions, and it deals with churches and Christians across denominational lines. Should Christians tithe? And secondly, should Christians participate in the demonic worship called Halloween? I want to hear from you today. What are your thoughts? Do you oppose the statement? Do you think that Christians ought not to tithe? Do you believe that Christians and churches should be able to participate in the demonic celebration of Halloween and open Pandora's box for demonic activities in homes and families and in churches? And it is my opinion, based on the scripture, that's exactly what is taking place. But going back to the fact of tithing, I'm looking at Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, I'm looking at the scripture, and we touched on it, but I want to read it, Genesis 14:20. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And that unit of thought is also found in that entire text of 14 verses, about verse 18 through about verse 22, and dealing with that. And I go back to the fact that tithing was commenced prior to the law being given, some 400 plus years before the law was given. And yet we have the mealy-mouthed excuse today, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, from so many Christians and churches and modern teaching, that we just give out of love. And we don't need to give out of an obligation. It's not an obligation. It's because we do love the Lord that we're willing to be obedient. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just set the table. Let me set the stage. Let's just do some hypotheticals. Let's say there's a church that's a large church. Let's say, and I consider large 500 members or more. Let's say you've got a church that's got 500 members, and there's the JEA power bill, there's the telephone bill, maintenance and upkeep bill, there's the cost for those that are on staff serving, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And let's say that each member gets $10 a month or $10 a week. How long would that church door be open? Be an impossibility. And the scripture is very, very clear that it's the responsibility of the Christian to maintain the place of worship. That was the purpose, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, of the Old Testament tithing. In fact, for the edification of our listeners, in the Old Testament, it was mandated 3 separate tithes. They gave 30%. It wasn't 10%, but collectively it was a 30% tithe, 3 separate tithes that were given. Now, we don't have time to get into the study of each of those, but the bottom line is God was challenging the church, if you will, the temple. Will a man rob God? God's question. The answer back, where have we robbed you? God said in tithes and in offerings. And then God placed a caused a curse on Israel because of their robbing God. And it is needful for us to recognize that which is tithing. In fact, in Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. Mm-hmm. It is holy unto the Lord. Malachi 3:8-10, we talked about it just a moment ago, and I believe we need to recognize they're God robbers. And then the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 23:23 commanded the tithe, and that's something that we ought to do. So now, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis, what say you?
And then, Dr. Youngblood, after you said that, I don't know if they understand, and I know some people say that you are bound because you still abide by the principles of the Old Testament. That's a sad situation. When an individual that's supposed to be in Christ, you say you're saved, but you got a problem with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with that.
Well, it's Andy Stanley, Dr. Charles Stanley is now with the Lord. Andy Stanley says the Old Testament has no relevance today, so we just, his words, jettison the Old Testament. And that's the mindset of multitudes today. It's saying that we can dissect the Word of God and pick and choose what we want to obey out of the Word of God and toss everything else away. Go ahead.
But speaking, you know, towards that you said about the Old Testament tithing principle, when you look at the law, the way that God said it, he went further down in Leviticus and said that if you didn't give that tithe when it was required, whenever you did give it, you had to put interest on it.
That's right.
I don't know if people understand that. You see what I'm saying? Understand what you read. Okay, I'll close right there. Now, I'm still in agreement with what you just said in Matthew, how the tithing principle still carries on.
Yes.
In the New Testament, because now the reason why I spoke to that in the first beginning, some smart aleks, and that's what I call them, say that the word tithe is not in the New Testament and it doesn't apply to the churches. That's okay. You just read it in Matthew. Now, the principle still carries on the same. It means the same thing in Luke 6:38, because Jesus said, give and it shall be, that's a promise, given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He said, he'll cause men to give into your bosom if you just obey. But they are having money problems because they have a problem with money.
Yes.
And Dr. Davis, that's why problem will never be solved.
Let me go back to your statement that you said about Leviticus, that if you don't give the tithe, there's going to be interest on it. Well, that's true today. Listen, there are people today that will rob God, and whatever they rob God for eventually will cost them in medical bills, automobile repair bills, and other problems they're going to pay for. One person said, and this is not fixed in Scripture at all, but one person said, whatever amount you rob God of, God's going to get it if it has to be through the devil's hands and taking it out of your purse of what you normally would spend otherwise. And I believe that to be factual. I believe that is to be without any equivocation, that if you don't give it to God, it's going to be gone. You can't rob God and it benefits your pocket or your, your entertainment or your upkeep in other fashions. Dr. Phelps, what say you?
Well, someone might say, well, we don't believe in tithing.
I've heard that.
Let me ask you a question. Would God be obligated just to cancel his instructions and the principle of tithing for the maintenance of the sacrificial system and the ministry of the temple worship in the Old Testament? No. God's word is immutable. It's unchangeable. What God established, he meant to be continued. Mm-hmm. It was not just a yearly plan. It was an annual plan. It was an eternal plan,
right,
as far as we're concerned. Do you think that God's going to cancel what he's ordained in his word? No. So what we read in, for example, this is one interpretation that I've heard concerning a New Testament passage in 1 Corinthians 16:2. It reads, upon the first day of the week, let every man of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, one of the ways that I understand that means the apostle was going to encourage the people to give when he got there. Well, that's all right. You see, the word that's used in this passage, store, is the same word that was used in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, that meant the temple.
Yes.
And under the sacrificial system. Today, we could possibly think of the church being like that.
That's right.
It's the place where God is working today. God has planned to use the church as stewards of the truth of the Word of God, just as he did the temple and the people, the Levites, in Old Testament times. So we read, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. And so, as we've stated, the word store refers to the church. In the same way, the word storehouse refers to the temple where the tithes were brought by the faithful people of God in Old Testament times. One of the things I'd like to testify about is this. When my wife and I began our marriage, established our home, we agreed together that we were going to give the tithe to the Lord.
Amen.
And I would like to say that I believe that God has shown himself to be faithful.
Amen.
To provide for us.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And God provided for my wife and I, who were married 61 years. And we always had a home. We always had food upon our table. We were always able to pay our bills with the 90% that God had given us.
Amen.
Well, Dr. Phelps, one of the things, and Dr. Davis, I'll use this illustration, then we'll wrap up our thoughts on tithing and make a transition to the Halloween. But I've used the illustration. What if a wealthy businessman says to you, I will put you up in business, I will build the building, I will stock the shelves, I'll put the cash in the cash register, all you need to do is run it, you can keep 90%, just give me 10%. That's a pretty good deal.
Amen.
God's given us life,
that's
health,
right,
and breath.
That's right.
God's given us, according to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, God's given us the power, the authority to make a living with health and the strength that he gives us, and it belongs to him. I think we bifurcate it too much. I think it's more than the tithe. Everything he's given us belongs to him. Yes. He just wants us to give back to him a small portion of
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Right? Just that little tithe, 10%.
And he can't trust him.
That's right. Trust him. It's faith in God, trusting God. But most of the people today, and perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening and you're part of it, that I'm going to give out $2 this week. Oh, next week, if I get my paycheck on time, if there's a bonus in it, I'm going to give God a dollar. I might give him $10 the following week. It's robbing God, and it's an impossibility to rob God and then say, God, bless me, provide for my health, provide for my income, provide for my kids, provide for my kids' education, provide for the clothing, provide for the food on the table, and robbing God. You wouldn't take a 38 and go to the Bank of America and rob the bank and the next day go back in and ask for a loan. It's an impossibility, and yet that's the game that so many play. I believe I have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, I just wanted to hear you guys comment, because you guys know the Bible better, you know what I mean? I think this is the movement of the emerging church. How you hear about that nonsense? Are all those worldly, lukewarm Christians in the church that when you and your brothers in Christ preach the word as it is written, in their heart they are rejecting it? So there's a group, that's what I read in the Spanish community. That nonsense is a poison spiritually. There was a well-known singer, a well-known pastor. He started reading those books. Now he's not a Christian anymore. He's almost atheist because he says that Jesus is a self-centered person. How come everybody has to worship him? And he's not inclusive enough because John 14:6 says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So this is the kind of mindset that we are dealing in the last day. How you hear about the emerging church?
You're exactly right. It's called the Emergent Church. The Emergent Church, when you look at the Emergent Church, one of the key proponents of that Emergent Church mindset literally is jettisoning anything that we call the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. In fact, one of the writers, one of the preachers that heads that up, that movement, says love is the key factor. Love wins in the end. And he talks about then all that we need to do to just love each other, love God, love the sodomite lifestyle, etc., etc., etc. And as you said, just jettison everything that's called a theological, doctrinal, biblical truth. There's a problem with that. And again, it's in the modern progressive, woke, progressive churches today. And may I just do a little footnote on that? March 2023, it was Franklin Graham in Decision Magazine, said the woke progressive church will send more people to hell than Satan ever dreamed possible. And it's the mindset today that we're going to be doing everything, in fact, goes back to the book of Judges, everyone doing that which is right in his own sight, rejecting the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jose, you're exactly right. I believe we have Santiago on the line. Santiago, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. John Black, God bless you. I believe when you give from your heart, don't thinking about, I'm going to give the 10% or the 20% or whatever. Whatever you want to give, you give from your heart. Don't start thinking about it. Oh, if I give this, something going to happen. No, no. You give with your heart. Whatever you're going to give, give it from your heart. If God put you to give $100,000, let's say, you have it, give it to God, but it's with your heart, not thinking about, I don't want to have this, I'm going to have that. No, give with your heart. God bless you. Have a nice weekend. I hope I can see you in the service Sunday.
Amen. Bye. God bless you. Looking forward to that, Santiago. You're exactly right. One of the things that we give, in fact, it goes back to the text in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, which I have treasured for so many years. It talks about not giving sparingly, but giving benevolently and lovingly and bountifully. And as I summarize the thought on it, we're to give bountifully, that is, with a cheerful heart. We're to give cheerfully, that is, rejoicing that we have the privilege to do so. And we're to give willingly, not because somebody's making it, not because somebody's forcing it. And let me just type a little loose end, Santiago, and for each of our listeners. I believe, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, the willingness to give a tithe is inextricably has a nexus to salvation. You take a person that says, I'm saved, and they want to hold on to everything that they have, whether it's money, whether it's the car, whether it's the home, or whatever it may be, want to hang on to it, say it's mine and I'm going to keep it. I can point you to a person that's probably never been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again.
Amen.
A person that's saved says, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Take my life and let it be only always used for thee. And that includes the purse, the pocketbook, the dollars and the cents in it.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a matter of being willing to say yes to Jesus Christ and what his word says and not bifurcating the word.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, I mean, heaven's economy is not suffering because of a government shutdown.
That's right.
That's happening in the earth.
That's right. Absolutely.
And that's the reason for that is because of what we're saying now. People are not giving. They're not honoring God. So sometimes we have to suffer, and he lets us go through some things to get our attention.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm saying that's truth. Absolutely. One of the things that we find, too, is so many times with Christians, they will use the excuse, well, I'm out of a job, don't have a job, but yet many times, even without a job, because of government subsidies today, they have an income, they have food, they have clothing, they have shelter, and multitudes of the time, it might be minuscule in comparison to what they could give if they had the full-time job, but God still requires of us a dime.
Amen.
Out of every dollar.
Amen.
A dime out of every dollar. That's a tithe, and it's a tithe because we love the Lord.
Well, I'll Deuteronomy 8:18 says it is God that gives you the power to get wealth.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I referred to that earlier, but that's the text.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 8. I can just wrap up the thought with this. Back many, many years ago, we had a young man that had the privilege to lead to the Lord. His name was Al. Won't call his last name, but Al said yes to Jesus. By and by, in his sitting under the preaching, something came up in a message about tithing. And he said, I'd love to have you and your wife come by our house and have a cup of coffee. We dropped by, we had a slice of cake, a cup of coffee, and he wanted me to explain tithing. I explained it to him. He said, well, listen, I thought that the church had everything given to him. I thought that the power company provided the power. I thought that when there was a need, the merchants in the area provided the merchandise that was needed. I thought everything was given to the church. I said, no, it's not the case at all. He said, I did not know that. He said, but from this point forward, I will be a tither. And until he moved from our area, he was a tither, because he didn't know what it meant, what it was, when he discovered it. And I say that because there are many multitudes maybe that's listening today. You don't understand tithing. You don't understand what the Word of God said. Well, from this point forward, ladies and gentlemen, you can't go out in ignorance, or preferred ignorance, and say, I don't know what it is. You know what it is. You know what the responsibilities are for each of us. But Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, let's flip the coin for just a moment and go to the opposite side of tithing, which is an obligation, responsibility, and a grace gift to the church that we can tithe. But let's go to the fact that today is the celebration, and multitudes will celebrate Halloween. I've got some statistical data here that shocked the socks off me. $13.1 billion will be spent on Halloween this season. $114.45 per person. $4.3 billion will be spent on costumes. $4.2 billion will be spent on decorations. Candy would be $3.9 billion spent for Halloween candy. Greeting cards, $0.7 billion. And the favorite adult, listen, the favorite adult costume, $5.6 million will dress as witches. $2.7 million will dress as vampires. And listen, many of these will spend more on Halloween than they give an entire year for God's tithes and offerings in His church. Dr. Davis, should Christians, just very clearly, succinctly, then we'll get to the nuts and bolts of it. Should Christians, pastors, and churches participate in the celebration of Halloween?
Well, the Bible tells us that we can't serve two gods. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you end up doing. You're worshiping and serving a false god, yet you're trying to hold on to Jesus Christ with the other hand. That's impossible. It's impossible. Now, we have to understand that in doing so, when you do that, then you are making God jealous. Amen? Now, here's what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 23 and 24. He said, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant. We are under a covenant with God. Amen. You forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For, verse 24, the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Mm-hmm. So that's all I need to know.
That's right.
If that's making my God jealous, because I'm stepping out of his will and I'm really committing sacrilege, that's worshiping false idols, and then I'm glorifying Satan instead of glorifying him, I don't want to take the chance to fall under his wrath.
Absolutely.
Because he said he's a jealous God.
Dr. Phelps, what say you?
One of the things I've learned down through the years is that people do not learn from history.
That's right.
The history of Israel teaches us that the reason God drove out the Canaanites and allowed Israel to possess the land was because the Canaanites who lived there were involved with heathen idolatry.
Yes.
Witchcraft and things like that, which God called an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Canaanites were dispossessed and driven out of the promised land then because of three things at least. Idolatry, the hope of divination, witchcraft, and so forth, and because of immorality. If we continue as we are and flaunt the holy God of the Bible as a nation, you think that God's not going to hold us accountable as a nation?
Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. Now, Dr. Phelps, with that being said, and you're on target with the statement, let's play the devil's advocate. Multitudes of Christian pastors today will say, well, our church is going, we're not going to celebrate Halloween. We're going to have trunk or treat. We're going to have a special festival. And people can come in their outfits, their costumes, et cetera, et cetera. And they will say with that, We don't celebrate Halloween per se, but we have a basket full of candy, and oh, we give them Halloween candy when they come by in their ghost and goblin outfits with moms and dads letting their kids traipse up and down darkened streets and risk lives just to get candy passed out. But the pastor, some of the pastors in the modern churches will say, well, that gives us an opportunity to be evangelism, that we can evangelize with that, that we can reach others with it. Let me just read you some statistical data. There's a wide variety of responses. Some evangelicals strongly caution against or to totally avoid Halloween due to the concerns about their association with darkness and the occult and paganism. At the same time, there's an increasing number of evangelical pastors and churches that refrain from Halloween or refer to Halloween as an opportunity to evangelize, to reach them. This article says, in one survey, 34% of pastors say they encourage handing out gospel tracts on Halloween night. 13% of the pastors, they encourage their congregation to avoid Halloween altogether. So out of all denominations, across denominational, only 13% of the pastors say to their congregation, do not participate in Halloween, because it is the occult, it is witchcraft, it is witchism. In fact, I understand that from those that promulgate, push, and those that are the witches, the warlocks, and those in the demonic cult area, they say that Halloween is their highest day of activities for demonic activities and reaching into the hearts and the lives of
That's
people.
That's right.
So if that is the case, and it is, then should Christians participate in it? I want to read, Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, and to our listeners, I want to read just a little. I had the privilege of publishing a little tract back in 1996 entitled Boo or Bogus, A Biblical Response to the Celebration of Halloween. Let me just read to our audience. Halloween is an ungodly pagan festival of the ancient Druids, which honors the shaman, the lord of the dead. Shaman supposedly called together all the wicked souls who had died within the past 12 months and had been condemned to inhabit the bodies of animals. The event was celebrated the last of October, the eve of the Celtic New Year. It was a time of falling leaves, of general season decay, which seemed appropriate to celebrate death. And I could go on and on with it. It was brought into the Roman Catholic Church under Pope Gregory III and established the honor of the dead on November the 1st. And ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on with the depth of it. It is the demonic delusion that's been given to churches and Christians and pastors. I say no, no, no to the celebration of Halloween.
And let
Remove
me say
the
this.
Ghost and the goblins and the pumpkins from your front porch.
Satan don't have any treats for you. He only has tricks.
That's right.
That's
absolutely.
All I need.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.